You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Hi, welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Community Radio Association networks. Now, I'm going to split the two because we are both on the Vancouver 2 stations here. First station is on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. That's our full hour show. Tomorrow, which is supposed to be Friday, our second one is on Co-op Radio, CFRO, 100.5 FM in Vancouver. Our website for that is cooperadio.org. Now, I've got that all in the clear. I'm, of course, Kelly. Across from me is Michael Rubin. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Doing good.
Yeah. I've heard some disturbing news for our weather here.
I heard that Tuesday is going to be more snow.
Oh, I heard it was supposed to happen overnight.
Overnight? Yeah. Wow.
So I wonder who's going to win.
Who's going to win?
The good news is today is February 2nd, Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog Day!
Two of our famed groundhogs did not see their shadows.
I knew it.
And which means that spring is underway.
Yes, absolutely. So, Bill Murray, if you're listening to us, it's your day, same day over and over again.
So,
all right. let's talk about some local issues right now. I did go to Douglas Park, and I went over and checked out this piece of paper here on Phase 1 of the 10-year vision plan on TransLink. Yes, I am talking local issues right now. Well, actually, TransLink, part of it is provincially, am I right?
Part of it's funded provincially, yes.
Part of it's funded by provincial. So,
By BC Transit.
Well, BC Transit's a different corporation. That's how I kind of see it.
Well, they get funding from the same places, I guess, or something like that.
TransLink's the Vancouver portion.
Yeah, TransLink basically does not leave Vancouver.
No, and then BC Transit's all the rest of the province.
Yes, yeah, all rest of the province, yes.
Yes, so hopefully you get that memorized straight because some people don't, right?
Yeah. As far as the our famed clawback with the bus pass situation. Because of the Compass Card, the Compass Card does not exist outside of TransLink.
No, it does not.
So it's a different program.
It is.
And it's administered slightly differently. And
the Compass Card is dealing with TransLink issues only.
Right.
Does not. Let's put it this way, all right? Compass Card is like Greater Seattle's Orca Card.
Right.
Okay.
Or the New York Metro Card.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get one thing straight for our listeners here. Our Compass Card is more like the Lower Mainland version to other, you know, like you said, on the Metro.
Right.
Other Metro cards. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Seattle, the Orca card, you know, it's very interesting. The Orca card carries not only ranges from Metro Transit, but it also carries Sound Transit, which is the Greater Victoria region, which also includes one of them is community transit out near north of King County. There's another another county there. They cover that part there as well. Another county they do is near the capital of Washington State.
Right.
So that's another area. I think it's called Inner City Transit in Olympia. They carry the Orca card as well. They're all part of the Sound Transit system.
All part of the same system.
Yes.
Okay.
And also the ferries, Washington State ferries. Near, if you're going from Seattle to, I think, Fashion Island or one of those islands south of where Puget Sound is, that carries the Orca card as well.
That's nowhere. The Compass card doesn't cover anywhere near that much.
Compass card does not. Well, let's face it. Compass card does not carry it through BC Ferries.
No.
If you wanted to go to, say, for example, to the Sunshine Coast, you have to pay the disability fare. Well, my part of it is the disability fare. Now, of course, we are talking on disabled people. This is a show that we do on disabilities. And, yeah, so you have to pay the disability fare or the adult fare to get to the Sunshine Coast.
Right.
Without the actual Compass card. BC Ferries does not cover that part.
No.
Same goes with Bowen Island. Now, I know Bowen Island, they have TransLink service there. Community shuttle services run most of the times during the day. I think they finish around like 6 o'clock in the evening after the last rush hour people come in and that kind of thing. So there are two community shuttles in Bowen Island, and they do run on Bowen Island service.
Okay.
With Compass card. However, like I said, BC Ferries does not cover Compass card in that area. So you're going to have to pay the actual full fare of an adult fare return service. Or, I mean, there is a residential cost to go through. I don't know if they do it monthly or yearly. I really don't know. But they do have some sort of a residential pass to get through there.
Right.
So they may have some sort of a discount or something for that.
As far as I know, the only other thing that the Compass card, because it doesn't include any of the ferries.
Nope.
The most extended thing is the West Coast Express.
Yes. You have to pay extra for it.
Yes. It socks extra money off of your Compass card or whatever.
Yeah, and I'll get to the fare zones in just a moment. They just had they're doing a survey right now from now until I think it's around February. Oh, I did have it around February 10th or somewhere around there. But it's already started right now, and it should end around this week or next week on the survey. What would you like to do? Would you like to have it in zone boundaries like we have now? Or distances on zone boundaries? Personally, the way I kind of see it is no kind of boundaries, because and again, I go over to Sunshine Coast to see one of my friends there. And I go to Victoria to see one of my friends there. And I only use this red Compass card. Now, this red Compass card is, for anybody who don't even know what the red Compass card stands for, the Red Compass Card is for the Bus Pass program for disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the one I have on a sticker, it says 2017 BC Transit. That sticker can travel anywhere throughout the province. Anywhere in BC, within BC.
Yeah.
So if you want to go to Prince George, you can carry your Compass Card, providing that you have a sticker indicating BC Transit.
Okay.
So
yeah.
That's the only thing you need to do. If you don't have, and of course, if you do live in the outside province of British Columbia and you have another, kind of like a BC Transit pass, and you don't even have a sticker for TransLink, it's vice versa.
Right.
That's all I can say for the BC Ministry. So very, very complicated on that front. So,
yeah. It's kind of a mixed up situation.
It is kind of a mixed up situation. So anyways, the paper I do have is called The Backgrounder of Phase 1 of the 10-Year Vision. Question is, what is Phase 1 plan? Phase 1 plan is the $2 billion expansion plan for TransLink to increase transit service and improve roads, cycling, walking infrastructure across the region. It implements first phase of the 10-year vision of Metro Vancouver transit and transportation developments by the Mayor's Council. Phase one is made possible by new federal and provincial government combines and increased regional contributions. Thank you. The phase one was approved by TransLink Board of Directors and Mayors back in November 23rd, 2016. Following extensive public consultations, the consultations with public and stakeholders demonstrated that residents support the investments in Phase 1 plan. In a public opinion poll conducted on May 2016 by Angus Reid Institute, 95% of respondents said they believe the multi-year transportation plan should be implemented immediately. Feedback received during TransLink public consultation on October of 2016 was positive, with many people calling the additional investments and transit service to beyond phase one. And then, of course, what's in the phase one? Well, we've got a handy dart bus service, 10% increase on services, and 15% increase on handy dart service. Well, what do you want? And here's my question to our listeners. Excuse me, sorry. I'll put it into question. Has your handy dart service been increased? Email communitylivingradio@gmail.com. communitylivingradio@gmail.com. If you are definitely listening to our show and you're hearing this 15% increase on handy dart service, has the handy dart service been increased since January? That's what we want to know.
Let's find out.
That's where we're
going. Let us know.
Yes. communitylivingradio@gmail.com. Five new B-lines are introduced on the bus routes, including Fraser Highway, Low Heat Highway? What part of the Low Heat Highway? Because we've got the Millennium Line, right? Going
yeah.
over. So that's the question.
And, of course, the Evergreen Line
runs kind of
parallel to that also.
Yeah, but that's not. But it's going on North Road and going down the tunnel to Port Moody.
Yeah,
that's not Low Heat. Low Heat would
run up.
Starts from Burnaby, Boundary Road,
right?
Goes all the way over to Hope. You did not know that.
Yeah, I did kind of know that. I'm just trying to picture because I've driven through On a regular basis, into Coquitlam, which is part of the Lougheed Highway.
I get the feeling the beeline is going to be through Coquitlam Station to Pitt Meadows and Maple Ridge.
Yeah.
Around that area.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess of the beeline. That's what I see on this map here.
Yeah. I'm just questioning which way is it going to...
Both directions.
Going to go with it, because it kind of... When you get to the Maryhill Bypass...
Yes.
It kind of goes different directions. It's like, okay, which way are we going with it? And it still says either Lougheed Highway or number 7.
No, yeah, but Maryhill Bypass is a different route altogether.
Yeah.
So I don't think that beeline will go through there. However, having said that, there's a route that goes along there. It's called this bus route number 791 route. Only runs on weekdays. Weekdays. Doesn't run on weekends. Doesn't run during evening hours, right?
That's probably why I've never seen it.
Yes. Probably that's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. What time do we have? We have a few more minutes. 171 new buses. Delivery beginning in 2018. So 2 years from now, we're going to have new bus service. Okay, so beelines, Fraser Highway, Lougheed Highway, Marine Drive. North Vancouver Marine Drive, right.
Okay.
Along North and West Vancouver. 41st Avenue. Yay, finally, yay! Replace the 43 route during peak hours. Yay! Finally. And hopefully I get there more quicker going to UBC than I was before.
Yeah, that's another area where BC Transit kind of cuts off and TransLink kind of don't meet each other. And I think that they should meet each other is when you go through West Van into Whistler.
Oh, right.
There's a spot where there's like nothing there.
Well, I heard something from BC Transit there was a survey done a while ago on commuting to Vancouver from Squamish and Whistler, that it could be years from now. I know Public BC Transit has their 10-year vision as well. So,
such a thing would get used. I know a number of people that would actually use it. So,
I agree.
Rather, because honestly, like especially at certain times of year, like winter time and all like that, is like you don't really want to drive it yourself.
No, I mean, why couldn't you? And then, of course, what I heard from the survey was that they do have an express service that runs from Whistler to Pemberton. It's called the Sea to Sky Express.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this phase, that's only phase one, all right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be like three phases. The second phase is going to be from Whistler to Squamish, another commute service. So
that brings it back closer to at least West Van.
Yeah, so it's slowly moving towards West Van.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be stage three.
Right.
Stage three was going to be from Squamish to West Vancouver and maybe peak hours to Vancouver, depending on people can rely on the drive and stuff. So those are the three stages that they're the Whistler and Squamish area are planning on doing. Other than that, I mean, the times should be more affordable, similar to what they do for the Chilliwack route, Langley to Chilliwack,
right.
On the triple, I know the 555 leaves from Portman Express, but this one is the 66 route from Langley to Chilliwack, which does run not very often, right?
I think it
they got about eight trips going through there during the day.
Yeah.
And about four or five trips on Saturdays and no service on Sundays.
I know it's not, but at least it's something.
It's something.
Yeah.
But what BC Transit wanted to do, that's totally up to the Crown Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas TransLink, like I said, it's a different corporation altogether.
Oh, it is.
And there are, and you're right, there are some questions that need to be followed. Like, will there be any transit outside service to Squamish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will there be any transit service to the skiing destinations? I only know one ski destination that goes there. Is that Gross Mountain? Not Seymour or not Cypress? One of the local mountains. Mm-hmm. We have a question about if there's another C-Bus connector coming from West Vancouver to Vancouver. You know where Dundrave and Appleside is down the shores of West Vancouver?
Yes.
Okay. and we're coming on to a break. I'll take the break now, and we will be back with more on the public transit service locally and provincially for that matter. So I'll take you the steps through it. So we will be back. You're tuning to Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Networks.
Boost your resume by studying abroad and get that dream job. Don't miss the Graduate School Fair at The Nest, UBC, on Wednesday, March 1st, or the Study and Go Abroad Fair on Thursday, March 2nd, at the Vancouver Convention Center. Admission is free. Come early to catch our feature seminar on scholarships. For more info, visit our website at www.studyandgoabroad.com.
I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone, help.
Do you ever feel uncomfortable or unsafe walking around campus at night? There's an AMS service dedicated to helping anyone trying to get across campus alone at night. We're SafeWalk, and we have your back. Call us at 604-822-5355 to request a transfer, or check out our website at ams.ubc.ca/safewalk for more information on hours and policies.
All right, you're tuning in to Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We were just talking about public transit in general. Now, funny thing, you know, you were mentioning during the commercial break about the service between Vancouver and Hope. Am I right?
Vancouver and Hope, and from anything from Hope to West Kelowna.
Mm.
Like, okay, Hope has a little bit of transit. There's at least an occasional bus or something
like that. Well, there's a community shuttle route that goes along there.
But you don't see like really transit like we have here in Vancouver again until you get to West Kelowna.
Mm.
And like, so, you know,
I thought there was another route provided by BC Transit that they're going to do a route from downtown Vancouver through Hastings to the Trans-Canada Freeway.
Mm-hmm.
With stops along the way. That's now, I don't know if that's going to be a possibility of doing that route from Vancouver to Hope. Yeah, it's the dry air. That's making us cough. It's not us, not us getting sick, just to let you know about that. What I heard from the review is that we may have a region-to-region district of having stops along the way. And this is an express bus service from Vancouver to Hope. Mm-hmm. Possibly Trans-Canada Highway bus shuttle route from Vancouver to Hope. So I don't know if this is going to be permanent, how many trips are going to be provided. I know for a fact that there might be some peak hour routes along the route.
Yeah, I can see. I could see the peak hour, and I don't see them like running it all, like having a even once an hour sort of thing all day long, mm-hmm. kind of thing. But maybe some peak hours service for people,
right?
You know, I mean, if the idea is honestly and really to make life accessible for people who live here in British Columbia,
mm-hmm.
and also to help limit some of the cars, and like you would think that, hey, let's join the systems together so that mm-hmm. we can commute people to other destinations in British Columbia.
Hmm.
You know,
interesting.
Well, one would think that would be the way of thinking of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
moving on to rail. More frequent service on Expo and Millennium Line and Evergreen Line during the midday and evenings and weekends starting January 27th. Well, I've highlighted it because I am going to look onto this if anything has changed. So, on my mission, should I choose not to do it or not, is to check the Expo Line, Millennium Line, Evergreen Extension along those routes. And then I do get a chance to go on Evergreen Extension once in a while if I have the spare time doing it. So that's kind of like my transit log for myself.
Honestly, I haven't been able to check out the Evergreen Line mm-hmm. because in order for me to access the Evergreen Line, I believe I have to come because it doesn't connect to the Canada line.
No.
So I have to come all the way into the Vancouver City Center mm-hmm. station and then connect to it from off of the Millennium line, would I not?
Downtown?
Yeah, I have to go all the way downtown. And then come back out again to get onto that from off the Millennium Line.
But the Millennium Line does not go to downtown anymore.
So it's the Expo. You get on the Expo Line and then get on the Millennium
that's
Line,
right.
And then that's
right.
That's a lot of
that's a lot of transfers.
Yeah.
Yes. Moving right along, increasing Canada Line service during high demand times. Well, I'm not in the high demand times, so I'm on other part of the Canada line. My guess is probably the high demand times will probably be evening hours, weekdays, and some weekends during the day.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, I mean, during peak hours, the Canada line runs... It runs from Waterfront to Bridgeport every 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it splits off. You have one that goes to YVR, and you have one that goes to the Richmond Center, which is the Brig House.
Mm-hmm.
They alternate back and forth.
They do.
So you get to Brig House every 6 minutes, and you get to the airport every 6 minutes.
That's right.
I think it's pretty efficient.
Well, yeah, and during the daytime, it's every 4 minutes.
Right.
8 minutes. Okay, here's the thing. Canada Line operates every 4 minutes during the day. 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
In the mornings, they operate every 6 minutes. 6 minutes, so it cuts into two, it's 12 minutes, right?
No. No, it's every 6 minutes. Every 6 minutes.
Every 6 minutes
to Brig House. Every 6 minutes to.
Yeah, but hear me out.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, hear me out. during early morning hours or late evening hours, they operate every 6 minutes. I know for a fact that I go to Oak Ridge 41st,
mm-hmm.
and I see this displayed sign saying when the next train's coming. When the next train leaves during that time during the evenings, it says six minutes.
You mean from Waterfront to the Bridgeport?
Bridgeport, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, every 6 minutes, and every is it about every 12 minutes to either Brig House or to the
That's
airport.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Once more train comes in, and it comes in during the day, it gets 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's 8 minutes if you're wanting to go to Richmond or to the airport.
Right.
Now, late hours, we're talking about after 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, they operate every 10 minutes.
Oh, is that every 10 minutes?
Every 10 minutes from Waterfront to Bridgeport.
Yeah, see, that's the time because there's a cutoff time for the last 351 bus, which takes me to South Surrey.
Okay.
And by that time, I'm probably, because of the cutoff of the 351 bus, I have never been on the Canada Line later than 10 o'clock.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you make a good point out of it.
Yeah. So I didn't know the service had cut back that far.
Mm-hmm.
So
it does.
But there is a point where it doesn't run all night, though.
No, it doesn't. The last train leaves around 10 after 1.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that they can increase and have it run all night. There's other cities that have their rail lines, their commuter rail lines, they run all night.
Yeah, if you lived in New York.
Yeah, New York and in Philadelphia, the subway ran all night.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where I got the report from TransLink, it's mostly maintenance, for one. Two is, I think the lines are very short, like SkyTrain, lines are very short, and the Millennium Line and the Canada Line are very short. That's why they cut off the late night service or the late evening service. That's my understanding. But yeah, you make a good point on.
Well, if it's running every 10 minutes, you could probably.
I'm thinking 30 minutes. Late night.
Yeah, 30 minutes is like, you know, you have time to do a maintenance project on a stretch of track,
but
then get it back online again.
But again, if you have maintenance service, and it runs on every 30 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not cut the track half? You got two tracks, one going north, one going south, or one going east, one going west.
Right.
Cut the track, one of them, do your maintenance, have the trains like 30 minutes on one track.
Yeah.
On that
you could
part
do that.
Of,
because that, you probably don't need to have one train on anyway.
On that portion of the track.
Because it takes, about, using Canada Line for an example.
Go ahead.
It takes about 30 minutes. For it to go from,
minutes.
What's that?
I thought it was 25 minutes.
Okay, 25 minutes. 25 minutes, you're probably closer to right. I was just rounding off.
Okay, fair enough.
From Brig House all the way to Waterfront.
Right.
And it's probably close to about the same, about 25 to 30 minutes, again, from the airport all the way into Now, I did want to get this in there before we get too far with this, right?
Okay.
Okay. So, as far as the Compass Card and the airport is concerned, the Compass Card actually saves you $5 if you have
That's
to go to the airport. There is a $5 surcharge you pay the fare. But you evade
plus,
it if you use your Compass Card.
Yeah, you're adding the $5 to the card plus another $5 additional fee for the airport fee.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The airport fee, if you use your Compass Card, you don't get charged the airport fee.
So you're paying close to $15.
Right. Yes.
Plus
if you do not use the Compass Card. But if you use the Compass Card, you don't have to pay the airport fee.
True.
So just laying it out there, is like
you're paying a lot more.
Yeah, you're going to pay a lot more if you don't have a compass card and you go to pick up your friend from the airport. Mm. You're going to pay a lot more.
Okay. Now, the one I disagree, here's the thing that I kind of disagree. You know, the West Coast Express is run by VRail, and VRail runs across the country, right?
Correct.
It's a commuter train service. Now, what they're saying is they're adding 5 new passenger cars for the West Coast to expand capacity. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to say about the West Coast Express, because the West Coast Express is operated by 2 different companies. One is by Via Rail, and the other is run by Canadian Pacific Railway. And I ask the questions, goes on and on and on. Why doesn't it? All right, we're almost out of time. I will mention about that. Anyways, thank you. I can go on and on and on about the service between both companies, Via Rail and Canadian Pacific. And of course, Canadian Pacific Railway is operated by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even give a you know what about their local services for public transit. They don't care about that kind of stuff. They don't even care that it's run by the local services. All they do, all they care, all this Canadian Pacific Railway does is freight.
Right.
Freight cars.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Mm-hmm. That's their big concern.
Any typical day of it.
Anyway, let us say goodbye to our folks at CFRO.
Well, we just missed that. You missed that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's what I was pointing out the
time.
Yeah,
I know. We expanded our version of our TransLink 10-year plan vision. And then again, I can cut off where we cut off anyways.
We'll fix it up.
We'll fix it up, yeah. That's for sure.
I just wanted
I know.
I'm going to say goodbye to those folks.
We already said goodbye.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
But you bring up a good point about Via Rail.
Yes. And Canadian Pacific Railway.
Yeah. Via Rail is about tourism.
Mm-hmm.
They run all the line that goes to Jasper and through the Glacier Fields, right?
Are you confusing the difference between that and the Rocky Mountaineer?
Yeah, that's owned by Via Rail, isn't it?
I don't think so.
I thought it was.
I don't think so.
Okay. You know what? We'll investigate that later on.
All right. So, yeah. I have a feeling that Rocky Mountaineer is owned by a different private company, whereas Via Rail is run by the federal government as well. So that's how I thought.
Yeah.
On passenger rail.
You know what? I could be wrong.
You could be wrong too. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
we need to look for the answer later on Facebook. we need to figure that out as well. But again, going back to the West Coast Express, I have a bad feeling that the 5 new passenger rail cars may not be good enough, because part of it, like I said, it's all part of Canadian Pacific Railway territory, and it's all run by, you guessed it, freight train.
Yeah, it's...
So anyways, so back to our point of, again, on the Pacific Railway, Canadian Pacific Railway, all of it is all freight, including grains, including oil services, and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment to talk about this about more. So you are tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks, and we're just figuring out the door. We're just hearing some bit of background. So we'll be back in a moment.
After 13 weeks of the best CITR Shindig Battle of the Bands on record,
this Friday, February 5th, is a finale. All of the contestants in this year's round have been brave AF.
So this year's finale theme is bold. Dress however bold feels to you.
And see Mark Mills, Carousel Scene, and Little Sprout do their thing.
Thanks to our sponsors, AMS Events, Backline Musician Services, Canadian Music Week, Discorder Magazine, Fader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders, Mint Records, Music Waste Festival, Nimbus Recording, Thunderbird Radio Hell, Six Cent Press, Silver Fox Postering, Band Merch Canada, Blue Light Studios, Zulu Records, Four Winds Brewery, Fernie Brewing, and Print Print.
It could just be the boldest night of the year.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
And we're back on the Community Living Show. We are talking about local issues, TransLink, and BC Transit. I'm, of course, Kelly Reburn. Across from me is Michael Rubin. All right, so yeah, so we talked about issues on the West Coast Express and how I'm not very happy about their service. And yeah, of course, it's all part of the freight service provided by Canadian Pacific Railway. And we do have two companies, Canadian Pacific and Canadian National.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let our listeners know, both of those are federal government service.
Right.
And like I said, they don't give a you-know-what about TransLink or anything else that provides on those services, but they do let them, those kind of services run on peak hour services. That's how I kind of see it that way. And again, they don't care about the running it on during daytime services or run on weekend providers. It's ridiculous. That's how I kind of see it.
They have a totally different agenda.
Mm-hmm, they do.
So.
And yeah, so that's that. More on the rail service. There are pre-construction work on the Broadway subway and the light rail projects. Now here's the thing. I saw a petition from the No to LRT in Surrey. This is the one person is doing a petition saying that we shouldn't have light rail service in Surrey because of traffic accidents along King George Boulevard going through on street level. The light rail mostly goes on street level.
Right, it would.
And they would rather have a bus, BRT, which is a bus rapid transit, a BRT service right along that area, and have the SkyTrain continue to Langley, via Fraser Highway.
Oh, take it from King George back all the way out to
Langley.
Surrey.
to Langley, you know, yes.
To Langley.
Yes. Oh. Saying that we should have the SkyTrain instead of having the light rail to Langley.
Yeah, that would, I know that my friend Ted Schaefer, mayor of Langley City, would like that idea.
Mm-hmm. It would be another 30 minutes to get down there, 15 to 30 minutes to get down there, right?
Yeah, you know, but
with several stops along the way.
Yeah, but it would get used. I know it would get used. I know people that would actually use it.
Absolutely.
Because here's part of the problem.
Okay.
In transit has the ability to give people access to lower rents.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so to try to rent the same square footage in Vancouver is probably if you're talking, it's $1,500 to find say maybe 800 square feet in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
you might actually be able to find it for about $900 in Langley.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of a savings. And even if you were, even like a monthly transit pass
mm-hmm.
via your Compass card, because we got to get the Compass card in there.
Yeah, and the fare gates through it too.
Yeah. You still wind up with the savings overall throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't spend it all in transit.
No.
And people would actually use it.
Mm-hmm.
And TransLink could probably even make up part of the money by doing some kind of a joint thing like they do in the South Surrey Park and Ride. Okay. They charge $2 to park your car.
Okay.
You know.
All day?
Okay. Yeah, all day. It's from 6 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Okay.
If your car's still parked there at 2 a.m., they can ticket it.
Wow, okay.
you have to re-up the thing.
I guess they are a strict force of saying no overnight parking. Am I right?
Well, yeah. It is kind of their way of saying no overnight parking, yeah.
Like,
it's kind of a weird cutoff, right?
I know it's a weird cutoff, but I mean, if you're working overnight, right?
Yeah,
what do you do?
I know, but it's kind of a weird cutoff, but
I know.
That's the way they have it.
Right.
So, you know, but it's actually revenue to actually help maintain and, you know, and maintain the area around the stops.
You know, okay. You
know. So, yeah. I couldn't think for a second there.
Yeah,
brain fog.
Okay. Brain fog.
So,
all right.
So yeah, it could actually help him. It probably would be a better solution than the LRT.
Good.
But then again, there's political figures. The mayor of Surrey. And MLA of South Surrey.
Okay.
Diane Watts.
Diane Watts, yes.
They made political promises.
I was going to say Melvin Hunt, but...
Yeah, you know, they made political promises that this LRT would go in there. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of planning
mm-hmm.
and a lot of construction and it's a lot of businesses that, you know... Small businesses that are going to be inconvenienced.
Mm.
So you know the big corporations they don't care if you do construction out front their door.
Mm.
You know it doesn't slow them down much, but it's the small businesses. Hey, if you take away my access to the road, because you're doing construction even for transit,
mm-hmm.
it's like it kind of hurts business. You know while you have it up and running there.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Now, going on to the public transit side, on the major road networks, some of the TransLink services provide major road networks, including new funding for operations, maintenance, and expansion of major road network, the first significant expansion of the MRN since 1999. I don't know what that is. That's one of the phase one, $50 million of new funding for over 3 years of major road network upgrades to improve safety, fixed traffics, and bottlenecks. Okay. Have they done that so far? Or have they? Have you seen a major project from TransLink on major road networks?
Yeah, they put toll bridges up.
Okay, so they've done Patola Bridge. Because
it's actually part of TransLink.
I know. Yeah. You're right. It is part of TransLink.
Yeah,
the Golden Ears Bridge is another one.
Yeah, the Portman is one. They, I guess, considering that I guess they're supposed to, in the next year or so, they're supposed to start work on the new... bridge replacement for the Massey Tunnel. which overall, the Massey Tunnel, from my understanding, is supposed to be only accessible by trucks, and cars are going to have to use the new toll bridge. But that's kind of reverse thinking to me, but
I don't know. Moving right along, back to including major road networks is also walking and cycling. Good for the heart rate, that's what I should say, for anybody who is diabetic like myself. 12.5 million on funding over 3 years of municipality approved pathways around transit like sidewalks, crosswalks, and pedestrian traffic signals. Well, I did see improvements on, you know where 22nd Street Station is?
Yes.
I did see some improvements on the walkway, bikeway route along the SkyTrain route, which is called the BC Parkway. And there are some improvements of connecting from one path to going to New Westminster. So there has been a bit of change on that. I kind of applaud to them onto that.
Yes.
Other pathways includes $29.8 million of new funding over 3 years of municipalities and encouraged to improve cycling through projects like in, building bike lanes in multi-use paths. Another one is on $11.5 million on funding over 3 years to improve regionally owned cycling facilities around major transit stations in exchange. What this, the other one is supposed to be on, well, think of it this way. The bike lockers that they've done on stations, they're rentable. However, I think it was on Main Street Station where you can put your bike inside of a safe shelter.
Right.
But question is, how safe are they, right?
Yeah.
And I know they have security cameras and all that kind of stuff inside the station to secure your bike, right? But again, comes to my question, how safe are they?
Right.
So maybe we need to explain a transit, a real transit personnel on coming on to our show as well, maybe in the near future. Eh? Yeah, so any suggestions on that?
I don't know how the heck to deal with something like that. To be totally honest with you.
Yeah, it would be interesting to ask one of the transit specialists for that matter.
Right.
So we're almost out of time. I'm going to go through this very quickly through this 10-year plan. And if you get, and again, if you want the information on the 10-year plan, you can visit their website, 10-year vision, all in one word, 10yearvision.translink.ca. All right. Implementations on the milestone in phase one includes initial CBUS service expansion, not including West Vancouver, of course, which is very, very interesting because back in the 1990s, when we had the SoCreds, they were going to say, they said that they were going to have another extension ferry service from Vancouver to West Vancouver. Hasn't happened.
No.
Not according to this 10-year vision. They are going to expand service to, of course, improve every 15 minutes throughout the day, every day of the week, but no service to West Vancouver.
No.
That's a shame. That's a very shameful. I don't know why. But, I mean, I was committed to that promise. Committed to that promise now. but it looks as though it's not going to happen. That's January. That's happening this year. Initial CBUS service expansion. Initial expansion of Canada Lines, Handy Dart, and the Expo and Millennium Line. April, initial bus service expansion. From April, of course, there, what I'm saying is April, when UBC is not in session, when they have their services going to UBC or any other campuses, those services will decrease to, I don't know, how many hours and services that they do. And then in June, they've got the summer service
right
that they do. And then back to September of 2017, where further bus services will expand, because now that we have September starting with UBC in session, most bus services will provide students to go to UBC.
Mm-hmm.
2017, more additional bus C-bus service expansion, municipal roads, walking and cycling projects. 2018, new 10% of lane kilometers expansion on the major road networks. Controlled rollout bus and rail service expansion. I hope so. I don't make my promise about 2018 for that matter. 2019, implementation of new B-line services and delivery of the new C-bus vessel. There's going to be another C-bus service. So again, our original C-bus, the Broad Otter and the Broad Beaver, are phasing out. Just to let you know. And those two services, those two original 1977 route service are going to,
they're going to phase them out.
Yeah, they're going to discontinue. So it looks as though in 2019, we may get another C-bus service. So that makes three new C-bus services, which is the Broad Pacific Breeze we have, the Broad Otter 2 we have. Could this be the Broad Beaver 2? Right, so we just don't know. So that's the third C-bus will replace the Broad Beaver, of course, and then the delivery of the new West Coast Express cars coming in 2019. They don't say this on this 10-year plan on night buses. Now, I know what you're saying. We're just almost out of time here. I know that the night bus service runs on frequent service. Here's the thing. Why don't we use some of the night bus services when SkyTrain or C-Bus aren't available, right?
Right.
And we have the N10, N8, N17, and the N22. Replace those night buses as regular bus routes, right?
Yeah.
And that way, they can use those services 24/7, 365 days a year.
Yes.
Very simple. Now, of course, with the N24, we just replaced the 242 for the C-Bus because they run on similar identical route as the N24, for that matter. And again, N19, N10 would be great because they run on services that run on SkyTrain, which is not operating.
Right. So I do want to say this one last comment, because it looks like we have less than a minute left here. Mm-hmm. If everybody remembers that the public site got turned down in the vote, it looks like, and I want to congratulate Justin Trudeau on this one, that the federal government is taking up the slack and providing the funding needed for the transit projects that this mayor council wanted to charge us a tax for.
Right.
So.
All right. Now, quickly on our next week's show, we have Paul Gilbert. Hopefully we'll have him on the show.
Yes.
And, of course, we had some issues both on Cooperative and CITR both, because last week we had the student 24-hour service of student power that they had last week, so we didn't got a chance to be on the show last week. So so we say thank you to the people that did this service on the 24-hour student power on CITR. Mm-hmm. So of course we will be back again next week. So hopefully we will be back next week with Paul Gilbert. So anyway, so that's our programming note. So thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Kelly.
And we'll see you all again next week.
All right. Thank you for listening.
And stay tuned for upcoming shows that are coming up. I'm trying to get a music here, so yeah. If you hear dead silence, that's probably the reason why I'm trying to find some music. So stay tuned.
I could sing a little.